You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in the Hunterdon and Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntertonChamberRadio.com app today.
USA Headline News, I'm Ron Taylor. Authorities in Illinois are expected to announce today that the death of a police officer near the Wisconsin border is being ruled a suicide. Lieutenant Charles Joseph Glenovitz of the Fox Lake Police Department was found shot to death on September 1st. The incident triggered a massive manhunt for three suspects described only as two white men and a black man. Robin Williams' widow is speaking up for the first time since her husband's death. In an interview with ABC News, Susan Williams revealed the actor only had 3 years to live and said she doesn't blame her late husband one bit for taking his own life.
It was what was going on inside of his brain, the chemical warfare that no one knew about.
She said there was a good chance the comedian's last years would have been miserable after a doctor's prognosis that the comedian had the early stages of Parkinson's disease. Susan Williams says her husband was doing the best he could to battle Lewy body dementia.
He was keeping it together, but the last month he could not.
A new government-backed retirement savings program starts today. The free, low-risk financial account is called MyRA. It's designed for lower- and middle-income Americans who don't have access to a 401k plan at work. You're listening to USA Headline News.
Did you know by age 50, half of all men have an enlarged prostate? This means more urges to urinate, longer bathroom trips, waking at night to urinate, or issues with sex. If this sounds familiar, call us now, because we're shipping free bottles of Super Beta Prostate to listeners of this station. Super Beta Prostate is a non-prescription formula guaranteed to reduce the symptoms of your enlarged prostate. It's yours free. Pay only shipping and handling. Just call 1-800-391-6916. In clinical trials, the ingredient in Super Beta Prostate was shown to reduce urges to urinate, improve bladder emptying, reduce waking at night to urinate, and improve quality of life. This Super Beta Prostate free offer is for listeners of this station, but it won't last. Don't wait. Just call 1-800-391-6916. That's 1-800-391-6916. Call 1-800-391-6916.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
The weather for Hunterdon County, it is currently 73 degrees and sunny, with a high near 75 expected. Tonight will be patchy fog after 4 a.m., otherwise partly cloudy with a low around 46. Tonight, chance of showers, mainly after 2 p.m., and patchy fog before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy. And Thursday night, also chance of showers. Friday, chance of showers, mainly after 5, and again, showers before 8 p.m. Friday night, and then mostly cloudy through the night. Saturday looks like chance of rain before 8 a.m., otherwise mostly cloudy, and then Sunday will be mostly sunny with a high near 45. So it looks like we've got some damp weather ahead of us, and it is currently 12:07.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program. And I have a special guest today. His name is Stephen Roll. And if you think that the last names sound alike, it is because this is my husband. So my husband works for the VA Counseling Center in Bristol, Pennsylvania, and we are going to be talking about VA services, and also it's about honoring the vets, as November does have Veterans Day, which is actually next Wednesday, and I understand we're going to be replaying the show. So I want to welcome you, Steve, to Counselor's Chat.
Thank you.
And maybe you could tell us a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with the VA.
All right. Well, thank you for having me, Ruth. I appreciate that. I know you know my saga as far as getting in with the VA. As a vet center, what we do.
Well, I'm going to say the listeners don't know how you got involved in the VA.
Oh, well, that's true. well, I am a veteran myself. I served in the Navy from on active duty from 1980 to 1984 in the Mediterranean primarily, two tours of duty in Lebanon. From there, had a variety of different occupations, all while trying to get back into my first love, which was psychology and counseling. I finally got a position with the VA, which in a counseling center. And what I'm doing now is I am the outreach coordinator for the Bucks County Vet Center, which is, as I said, part of the Veterans Administration. As I heard on or saw on a blog this morning, somebody referred to us as the best kept secret in the VA. And I was both amused and a little distressed by that, but I'm not surprised. But my goal is, as the outreach program specialist for the Vet Center, is to have the Vet Centers become the worst kept secret in the VA.
So you're gonna dispel the secret.
I am going to dispel the secret as best as I can and try to get. Trying to get as many people into counseling and into services as possible.
So I'm curious, what is the difference between a VA counseling center and a VA hospital? I mean, we all know about VA hospitals,
sure.
But this sounds like this is something different.
Sure.
So I'm a little curious.
Okay. Yeah, what we do, we are a little bit different. Obviously, the hospitals do some counseling too, but it's difficult to get appointments down there. There's so many folks trying to get in. What we do talk therapy, and we're able to see our clients on a weekly basis to help them out. We are an outpatient mental health clinic. It's primarily what we do, but we also provide some guidance for services that the veterans are looking for, like their benefits that they're entitled to. We have a service officer that comes in a couple times a month, and he works with guys filing claims for whatever, you know, physical or emotional disabilities that they have. And that is our function. Our function is we're part of what's called the readjustment counseling service. And what we do is readjustment counseling.
And that means?
That means that we help our veterans transition from being a military mindset to back into the civilian world. And some are able to make the transition better than others. And I would say our clientele has ranged from World War II veterans all the way on up through current conflict. Guys and gals coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan.
So how long has the VA had counseling? You know, you said best kept. How have they had these kinds of counseling centers?
Right. The best centers started off as a kind of peer counseling storefront operations in 1979. It was primarily started by Vietnam veterans who, when they came back from Vietnam, found that they were less than welcome in both veterans organizations and in the VA itself. They had a very difficult time getting services. A lot of runaround, as you know, because you and I are of the same age. Vietnam was not a particularly it's not a popular war. It was not, and the veterans were not well received when they got back. In fact, they were pretty poorly treated, and so they got together. A lot of them realized that they were having issues, and they would get together in small groups and do peer to peer counseling. From there, it gradually became more, I don't want to use the word legitimate, but more, I guess, structured,
mm-hmm.
and was folded into the VA proper in the early, mid-80s. And so now our Readjustment Counseling Service is a part of the Veterans Administration. We have our own Chief Operating Officer down in Washington, D.C., and he's more political than counselor, but...
How many centers are there? I mean, you're talking about Bucks County, mm-hmm. Pennsylvania. Here we are in New Jersey.
Right.
You know, is there anything in New Jersey, or can somebody from New Jersey go to your center?
Sure.
How does that all work?
Yeah, we all have regions that we deal with. The closest vet center to here would be in Trenton, actually in Ewing, and there are 6 vet centers, I believe, in New Jersey.
Counseling centers?
Vet centers.
Vet centers.
It's called a vet center.
Rather than the hospital, like Lyons?
Yeah, rather than the hospital
Orange.
Or an outpatient clinic.
Okay.
There's an actual vet center logo, and we are formerly known as vet centers. And there are about around 300 in the country, and also in Puerto Rico and Guam. And I think Samoa as well, all U.S. territories. And we all do the same thing. We all do outpatient counseling. The counselors are all licensed counselors, either licensed professional counselors, marriage and family therapists, or licensed clinical social workers. Variations on licensed professional counselor, mental health counselor, it's all the same. But all master's level, some PhDs. We do have some doctors,
like psychologists or psychiatrists.
Counselors. They're counselors.
Okay.
We don't do any. There's no psychiatry. There's no medications involved. We do have a few psychologists here and there, but for the most part, it's master's level, person-to-person talk therapy counseling.
Well, this is time to take a little commercial break.
Okay.
And we just want to welcome again Steve Roll from Veterans Counseling Center, who is my guest, and we're talking about vets and counseling, and we will be back. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselors Chat.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
I'm Andy Ross. I'm chairman of the Ambassadors Committee of the Chamber. As members of the Ambassadors Committee, we contact new and renewing members of the Chamber to get their feedback on their Chamber experience and make them feel more at home with the Chamber.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselors Chat. I'm Ruth Altamura Roll, licensed professional counselor and your host for today's show. And I have a special guest, Stephen Roll, my husband, who also has a master's in counseling. He's nationally certified and he is working on his license to be also a licensed professional counselor. And he currently is the outreach coordinator for a VA counseling center in Bucks County, Pennsylvania. And being November is the month that we honor our vets, I thought it would be an important show for us to have to give information about how vets can get into some services, but also about what these VA centers do. And one of the things you mentioned earlier, Steve, was that the veterans need readjustment. I'm not sure exactly what that means. Like, why, you know, I mean, they're Americans. What do they need to get readjusted for?
Well, it's when you've been, as I mentioned, we see combat veterans,
right?
And so, or veterans that have served in a combat zone and been involved in some sort of action. The pace of life as a military person is, and just the general atmosphere is different than it is back home. So what happens is you get used to a certain, especially in a war zone, you get used to a certain alert level, awareness level that is not necessarily healthy back home. We've got guys who we see a lot of post-traumatic stress, and what I mean by that is not the Rambo kind of stuff that you see in the movies. That really is given post-traumatic stress a bad name and a bad reputation. It's less, there's more isolation than acting out in post-traumatic stress situations. So, but anyway, so we see is we'll see guys who will, we call it patrolling. They don't sleep well. They'll get up at 2 o'clock in the morning and they will check all the windows and they look outside and they're constantly looking outside. They're on patrol. They're still back on the base. or out the or in the bush or wherever they wherever they were. A lot of guys will sleep with a weapon because they've gotten used to sleeping with a weapon, whether it's a knife, whether it's a gun of some sort. It's something that they're having difficulty breaking themselves of the habit. And so what we do is we try and help them move back, transition from that alert level, that alertness mindset, back into a more of a civilian atmosphere, so that it's not, so you're not always on watch, so you're more comfortable in a grocery store, you're more comfortable in a crowd, and you can, you're more comfortable in your family, frankly.
Does the military lend itself to its own separate culture?
Absolutely. I would definitely consider the military to be what we call in the business a multicultural, a cross-cultural environment. There's a language barrier. There can be a lot of common phrases that are used in the military are also used, have made their way in the civilian language. At the same time, you have a different timekeeping way of timekeeping. There are different words for different things that are part
time
of the cultural.
Timekeeping, O dark 30.
The O dark 30. Well, that's a relative term. That's any time before sunrise.
Right. Yeah.
O dark 30.
But that's.
But 0800. 1300. 1400. That's civilians call them 1 and 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Right.
But when you're on 24-hour time and you're on military time, especially when I was in the Navy, if you're in an environment like in an engineering space, there are no windows, or in a submarine, we put that too. There are no windows. You don't know if it's day or night. So to say it's 1 o'clock, you go, but that means what to me?
Right.
So if you say it's 1300, I know it's 1 o'clock in the afternoon. It helps for shifts and your watches, that kind of thing. It's certainly a different atmosphere than the civilians, and that in and of itself makes it a different culture.
Yeah, different camaraderie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the band of brothers idea.
Yeah, yeah, and even though all the services will give each other jazz. We're all on the same team, as it were.
Right.
Except for the Air Force, everybody hates the Air Force.
The poor guys in the Air Force.
they get all the funding, so it's like we all rag on them, but they, but it's all good natured.
So, getting back to the services that you offer. You know, is it just to the veterans themselves?
It's primarily to the veterans themselves. We offer the services to combat veterans and those who've been victims of military sexual trauma, but also to we do bereavement counseling as well for the families of members that have service members that have been killed in action. We also offer counseling to the families of the veterans, as long as the veteran is part of has come in for services to our group. We can see the families as well. We do family counseling. We do marriage counseling. We have some groups that we run for post-traumatic stress primarily. One of our marriage and family therapists runs a family group for spouses of the clients that come in. We offer counseling services for the families as well, but it's primarily focused on the military, on the veteran.
What about drug and alcohol addiction and abuse? I mean, is that something that you guys also deal with?
Sure. Yeah. A lot of guys will self-medicate with various and sundry types of of alcohol and different types of drugs and things. We got a lot of co-occurring stuff with post-traumatic stress and some sort of substance abuse or certainly substance use. And when it comes chronic, then it's usually when they'll come in. As I said, we're an outpatient clinic, so we don't have any kind of we don't have any place to do a rehab or anything like that.
Okay.
But we have a very close relationship with both the VA, the Philadelphia VA Medical Center, the Michael J. Crescenz Medical Center, and the Coatesville Medical Center out in Coatesville, PA.
They do detox and rehab in those.
They do rehab there. They also do an have an inpatient PTSD program out at Coatesville, and they do drug detox and rehab at both Philadelphia and Coatesville. In New Jersey, there's
Lions,
right? That's the one I was trying to think of. They're mostly really rehabilitation. They do drug rehab there.
And when you say rehabilitation, you mean someone who's got a physical injury or lost a limb or that kind of thing?
Yeah, that and that's done at all the medical centers. But in Lions has a residential aspect to it for long-term patients who are not going to be able to function outside. There's a residential unit at Philadelphia as well.
Because I know my uncle and also we had looked into Lions for my dad, sort of like a nursing home.
Like a nursing home, yeah, extended care kind of facility. Yeah,
right.
Like that.
And the VA also does have nursing homes, specific nursing homes for veterans that are...
There are.
You know, elderly veterans.
Yeah, there's one in Edison in Jersey, and there's one in Northeast Philadelphia. That's the one that we deal with.
Okay.
If we have somebody calls and they're looking for assisted living or nursing facility for a vet, that's where we'll send them.
So, you talked about a little bit about post-traumatic stress, I guess the being on watch, the hypervigilance and that kind of thing that happens. I guess I'm wondering, I'm assuming that you get vets that have lost limbs and have had traumatic brain injuries and those kind, we'll see these things on commercials like Wounded Warrior commercials and those kinds of things. Do you also deal with that?
We've had some of our clients have had mild TBI, mild traumatic brain injury. They have difficulty remembering their appointments sometimes and they get their times confused and things like that. As far as loss of limb, I don't think we've had anyone yet who has had any sort of amputations or lost limb of any kind. That's not to say that we won't.
Right.
But I don't. In the 5 years that I've been there, 5.5 years that I've been there, I don't believe we have. We have guys that have come in, guys, gals that have come in that have some seriously debilitating injuries, shrapnel and things like that, that are still existent in their bodies. That basically what they say is it'll work its way out eventually, and it does happen. It's not life threatening. It's usually soft tissue, and it's sometimes it's too close to areas that they don't want to mess around with, so they just
like near a back or
near a back,
near spine or something.
Like
yeah,
and it does, and it will eventually work its way out of the body.
How about children who have a father or a mother? Mm-hmm. Like, do you see kids?
There's a few. We have a few families that come in. The moms will come in to bring their kids. Sometimes whether the kids are affected, mostly they're young. We have one guy comes in with his daughter, and she goes in for individual counseling as well as him. And that's what I'm saying. What I was saying before is that the veteran has to be the primary patient or the primary client of ours. And then we can see the families. We have a couple of different situations. It's sometimes it's difficult because I field all these phone calls, or just about all the phone calls, the people that are calling up for our services, and it's hard to say to somebody, "I'm sorry, you're not eligible." Unfortunately, I mean, our funding is based on a certain clientele, and there are these functions are available in other facilities for veterans that are not combat veterans, that are not from military sexual trauma. They can go to outpatient clinics. They can go to the medical center.
So you have to be a combat vet, is what I'm hearing you say?
Right. For the vet centers, yeah.
So if you were in the military but were stationed behind a desk,
right?
You know, here in your stateside, as they would say, mm-hmm. You're not eligible.
Not eligible for our service.
Right, that's what I mean. Not eligible. That's interesting.
The exceptions that we have now to the combat rule is anyone who has handled human remains. Such as the detachments down in Dover,
mm-hmm.
Dover Air Force Base in Delaware,
right.
Where the
coffins
most
come
of
in.
The coffins come in.
Mm-hmm.
Also in Ramstein in Germany and some of the other areas over in Europe that will receive wounded and dead, and also drone operators.
Drone operators.
We can see drone operators now. Yeah, there's a growing occurrence of post-traumatic stress in drone operators.
How would that happen?
Well, the drones that are or have been flying over Iraq are armed with Hellfire missiles for the most part, and these guys have they're watching the cameras. And so, you know, when they're observing the thing. It'd be just like an Air Force pilot or a bombardier. You don't necessarily see what's happened on the ground, but you know what's going on, and it can really wreak havoc on your faculties.
Yeah, I can imagine that it does. What about you know, like we've had several incidences also here in the States, you know, like the Fort Hood incident, uh-huh. or that one situation where we had a number of our military shot at a recruiting center. Uh-huh. What about those people?
We'll get involved in those. The Fort Hood is, I know for Fort Hood and also for the recruiting center and the base shooting, there were vet center people who went to the bases to provide services, more crisis counseling in that
right.
kind of case. It's sort of like the Red Cross, but
okay.
we take care of our own basically.
Okay.
So that's the extent that we would get involved. And if it's declared a combat action, or if it's declared, or if they get some sort of an expeditionary medal for that, which they probably wouldn't, but if that was the case, then they would become eligible for our service. I personally am eligible for Vet Center services, with as I have two awards of a Navy Expeditionary Medal for the two tours of Lebanon that I did back in the early 80s.
So did you yourself see some type of combat?
I didn't see any combat directly. When I was on the destroyer, we were we were on the gun line, as they call it, and we were tasked with gunfire support. This is in 1983, with gunfire support into the hills of Lebanon in case anything happened. But we were less than a mile off the shore. You could easily see the ruins of Beirut, the bombed out buildings and all the damage that was done in there, and so all the ships that were involved in those actions. So I was on the destroyer for one, I was on a carrier for the other, were awarded Navy Expeditionary Medals for those particular actions. Mm-hmm. You're in a potential, you're potentially in harm's way in a situation like that, and so that's where the award would come from.
So what if you are, I'm going to say, in the Navy and you have not seen any kind of anything, you've just been kind of swabbing the decks and and you've timed out.
Sorry, you're asking me.
And you're struggling now. You're not even necessarily struggling with post-traumatic stress, but maybe just alcoholism. Mm-hmm. I mean, would that be?
It wouldn't be something necessarily that the vet centers would handle.
Okay.
However, any veteran is eligible for some level of VA services, providing that you were not dishonorably discharged. If you're dishonorably discharged, that pretty much boots you out of everything. So it behooves a sailor or anyone else to keep their nose clean as possible,
right,
and not get involved in drugs or anything like that, and get a blemished record where you're kicked out of service and dishonorably discharged. You can apply for upgrades. And that's something that would go through a congressman or something like that. But that's not something that we would do. That's Defense Department. They can apply for upgrades, and depending on, you know, other evidence that comes to light. But for the most part.
Upgrades meaning qualifying you to go from just the hospital setting to a counseling center.
Qualifying you to actually get benefits. If you're dishonorably discharged or discharged under other than honorable conditions, you can present evidence to have your discharge upgraded to general or something like that. And not honorable. It'll never get up that high. But up to a general discharge, and then you're eligible for all services, including ours. Anybody who's dishonorably discharged is not eligible for vet center services.
Hmm. So it's pretty particular then.
What we do is we have a mandate, a congressional mandate, to do counseling for, as I said, combat veterans, those who've received an expeditionary medal of some sort, or military sexual trauma. The counseling in general can be done in an outpatient clinic setting. There is one in, there's a lot of them around. There's one in Hamilton. I think there's one in Piscataway. Those are like the closest to here, I believe. And then, of course, out by us, there's one in Horsham, which is out by the old Naval Air Station at Willow Grove. They can be seen outpatient in those clinics, and they can also be seen outpatient at the medical centers. Lyons and East Orange are the two medical centers in New Jersey, and the two by us are the Michael Crescens, which is Philadelphia, and the Coatesville.
So I just wanted to talk or have you talk about talk a little bit about, you know, the VA in the news is getting a, you know, I'm going to say, pretty bad rap in terms of waiting times and vets dying waiting to get services. And I guess I'm wondering what your thoughts are and your take is on all of that.
Well, my thoughts are mixed. Really, it is a shame, and I have seen some bad attitudes in VA personnel. I've seen some exemplary attitudes in VA personnel. The VA is really no different than any other large organization, in that there is always going to be some kind of an issue somewhere. No large corporation, to use an example, is exempt from that. You know, you'll see problems in leadership in GE and General Motors, AT&T. All the large organizations are going to have some kind of an issue. It's just the nature of the beast. Unfortunately, the VA, because it's a hospital type setting, because it's a medical type setting, it is a little more dangerous, for lack of a better word. It can result in people losing their lives, and that is a shame. it's been a particular black mark on the VA, and those who do yeoman's work in working with an ever increasing population of veterans of veterans in need of services, and in just the aging of the population of veterans, we're losing the greatest generation of World War II veterans, but leaps and bounds now, just because of its age. You know, we've lost. We recently, I guess, a couple of years ago, we lost the last World War I veteran. I don't have any numbers for World War II veterans, but they're dying very quickly. The population is aging. We're seeing a lot of Vietnam veterans now, a lot of guys that are retiring, and in our situation at the vet centers, there's a lot of issues are starting to bubble up to the top because they're retiring and they have more time to think about stuff that went on like that. But you know, I digress a little bit. We are seeing a lot of guys coming back from Iraq and Afghanistan and other different conflicts that we've had in the last few years. It's the system is kind of being overwhelmed a little bit at this point. I'm not using that as an excuse for anything, because there's no excuse for having potential patients die while they're waiting for an appointment. That's crazy. But at the same time, I know, having been down in Philadelphia, there is a tremendous traffic flow in the hospital down there. There are a lot of people coming in for a lot of services. There's more and more emphasis on veterans coming to the VA. As like I said earlier, the Vietnam veterans were not really welcome in the VA. They were really kind of shunted to the side. Well, a lot of them are starting to come back now because they're feeling a little more comfortable. You'll see the guys wearing their Vietnam veteran gear and things like that. They're taking a little more pride in their service, and so they're also coming back in for services now to the VA, and it's creating an influx of patients now. But, you know, we do the best that we can with the funding that we get, we go from there.
Yeah, because I would think that when I think of military, I think of, you know, for lack of any other term, ship shape. You know, everything is on point, and all the dots are crossed and T's dotted, and you know, that kind of thing. And yes, I know I said that backwards. That doesn't necessarily happen in the VA.
No, the VA is a civilian organization, so it's not a military organization.
Okay, I guess that's a good point to make.
It is a civilian organization. Yeah,
I think the tendency is to think that the VA is a part of the military because it serves our military.
Right. But it's not.
But it's not.
No,
well, that's
no.
an interesting piece
no,
of information.
No, the Veterans Administration is a separate. A distinct animal from the Department of Defense. We have a different role than they do. I mean, the military's goal is to make guys ready to fight, not so much make them ready to become civilians again. They try to do a little bit of that readjustment as when they're getting ready to come back stateside, but. For the most part, it's not something that the Department of Defense does well. That's where we come in. We pick up the ball from there.
I see.
There are certain units, at some of the larger hospitals, military hospitals like Walter Reed, they will have detachments down there that do help guys transition from active duty to civilian life, mostly when they've had catastrophic injuries like lost limbs and things like that. They will go. The Marines will have there's a Marine detachment down there that does that.
Okay.
That they work with that I had interviewed. Those are the people that I interviewed with.
Okay.
Back then, and they help severely wounded warriors transition back to civilian life. But we do, you know, our wounds are less visible.
Right.
Shall we say? And so we do something similar. Generally, I don't want to diminish the trauma, certainly, but it's a little different than having lost a limb, but not entirely. So I think I digressed, but.
Folks, I'm used to that.
Should be.
Yeah.
Did I answer your question? I think I did.
I think you did. I think okay. You did. Now, your role is outreach.
Yes.
What exactly does that mean, and what is it that you do?
What it means is that my job is to get. My job is twofold. There are two elements to the job. One is doing things like I'm doing right now. Talking about veterans, talking about the vet centers, the VA in general, and doing a little bit of education to the general public about who we are, what we do, what we don't do, and who's eligible and all those kinds of things. The other part of what I do is I try to get people, eligible members, into the vet centers for services. Our goal is to have basically to have everybody who needs our services, wants our services, and is eligible for our services, getting our services.
Okay.
And so, as I started the way I started the show is that the quote that I saw this morning was that we are the best kept secret
right.
in the VA. And as I said, my goal is to make us the worst kept secret in the
right.
VA and to make everybody aware of Vet Center's existence, what we do, who we are, where we are, and get people in that want to come in.
They want services and need
yeah.
services.
Yeah.
Well, for those of you who are listening, I did not take a bottom of the hour break, but I do need to take another commercial break. And I am Ruth Altamura Roll, your host for Counselors Chat, speaking with Steve Roll about some VA information. We'll be back in just a few moments.
Home Instead Senior Care. It's our passionate dedication to creating personal relationships between our clients and our caregivers. Visit our website at www.homeinstead.com/325.
You've got a friend.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, Celebrant Officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Well, good afternoon and welcome back to Counselor's Chat. I am Ruth Altamira Roll, your host for today's program, and my guest is Stephen Roll, who is also my husband. He's got a master's in counseling, and he's nationally certified counselor working on his license to be a licensed professional counselor. So we are going to be holding equal degrees and accreditations, which is really kind of a neat thing because we can talk about a whole lot of stuff together and be on the same page about different things and really share experiences and learn from each other, which is a very Absolutely. Nice thing. But one of the main reasons that Steve is here is he's talking about the VA, the Veterans Administration, which I just realized or just discovered that it's not part of the military. It's actually separate from the military, though provides services to the military, and which might explain why it's not so polished and organized, I'll say.
You could say that, I suppose.
Yeah. But we talked a little bit about culture and post-traumatic stress and many of things like that, and that Steve's job is really about dispelling the secret, I guess, that counseling centers exist, and to actually bring veterans into the counseling into counseling services. Mm-hmm. One of the things that that I know is that we used to call post-traumatic stress shell shock, and there used to be the belief system in our field, or I guess maybe the military, that said if you just didn't talk about it, it would go away. Mm-hmm. What's changed with that?
Well, what's changed with that is that we've pretty much found out that that doesn't work. Well, if you don't talk about it, it just sort of hangs around and festers like any kind of an abscess. It just gets worse and worse as the more it goes untreated. I mean, we've had, through the years, post-traumatic stress, PTSD, whatever you want to call it. PTSD became the name in post-Vietnam. That's pretty much where it became post-traumatic stress disorder from Vietnam into the 80s, and then it was classified. Of course, PTSD has been around in one way or another forever. Back in the days of Alexander the Great, there are stories that have been related about different soldiers and things. From our history in Civil War, it was called soldier's heart. It was called shell shock in World War One. Battle fatigue in World War II, basically, and up until the research was done for more, it became known that this was a reaction to a stressful situation, they classified it as post-traumatic stress disorder. A lot of circles now are just they're proposing to drop the D for disorder,
right,
just call it post-traumatic stress. And you'll notice that I just call it post-traumatic stress, not because of any politically correct idea, but just because it's just what it is. It's post-traumatic stress.
And I know I deal with clients myself that struggle with post-traumatic stress.
Yeah, it's not just a military thing either. I mean,
no,
that's
any
that's
kind
something,
of
right.
any kind of trauma. It'd be childhood trauma,
right.
abuse,
right.
incest issues, right. House burned down, job loss. anything that's traumatic mm-hmm. that we can yeah. bullying, you know, mm-hmm. it just can go on and on. Anything that is traumatic in mm-hmm. our lives. And I know for myself, I can often, you know, as a therapist, as I talk to new clients that come in, I can often spot it. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's just even looking at people. They what do they call that? The
1,000-yard stare.
The 1,000-yard stare. Yeah. It's sort of this empty sort of look of horror that just, you know, there may not be any other expression on face, but just sort of this.
The vacant stare. It's just, yeah. It's like there's nothing there. It's just there are some classic photos of World War II soldiers, particularly,
right.
On evacuation boats, and it's just there's one of the guys sitting there. He's got his helmet with the mesh on it and all, and he's just that's why they were called shell shock, because he just looks like he's shocked.
Right.
The one thing, just to get back to what you were saying, the. One thing the studies are starting to show is that trauma is cumulative, and the guys that are and gals that are suffering from the most from post-traumatic stress or suffering from post-traumatic stress, because the question is just backtrack a little bit. The question has always been, why do some people get PTSD and some people don't? And what the research is starting to show is that it's cumulative. And so what's happening is that the guys and gals that are getting post-traumatic stress or having post-traumatic stress have had other traumatic events in their lives prior to that.
Interesting.
That as I said, it is cumulative.
Right.
And as one traumatic event builds on another and another and another and another, it eventually begins to manifest itself and comes out sideways.
Right. So if I grew up in an abusive alcoholic right. home, then the chances of I joined the military, the chances of my developing post-traumatic stress yeah. disorder. And from my perspective, I would say that means you enter the military with already having some post-traumatic stress
sure.
disorder.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah. So a lot of people go into the military in order to escape bad situations, marriages, bad, you know, whatever.
That's
you know,
true.
Home,
yeah.
Home situations.
Yeah. And Private Benjamin, good movie.
Absolutely.
You know, traumatized loss of her husband on her wedding night, and she joins the military to escape the
right.
you know, the trauma of it all.
She joined the army with the yachts and the condos.
Yeah, so. Right. But anyway, you know, I know we could talk on and on about this, and unfortunately, we've really reached the end of our program. So maybe you can just let people know, if they are veterans or know someone, how they can get in touch with a veterans VA counseling center.
Sure, I could do that. Just want to get pull up a phone number. The easiest thing to do is actually to go to the VA website, www.va.gov. If you want to get directly to the vet center portion of that, it's www.vetcenter.va.gov.
We'll repeat that one.
Yep, www.vetcenter.va.gov. And I'm going to try and get back on here. Nope. I was going to look for the crisis hotline number, and I don't have it right now. But if you go to the VA website,
you can just Google that.
.va.gov, it'll give you all those numbers and a lot of different information. And there is so much out there that I was not aware of. Different organizations, the Defense Center of Excellence. Has a lot of stuff on trauma and post-traumatic stress. That's www.dcoe.mil. Now that's MIL. That is a Department of Defense
military
military site. And that one's www.dcoe, Defense Center of Excellence, dcoe.mil, MIL.
Okay, well, thank you so much. Really appreciate it. I do understand we're going to replay this show next week. Wednesday, which is
appropriately enough,
yes, which is
Veterans Day,
and Veterans Day is a day to honor our veterans mm-hmm. rather than Memorial Day, which is a day to memorialize those veterans who have passed on.
Right.
So
exactly.
This is to honor those that are who have served and that are living. I know there's a lot of